Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hey, my goodness. Here we are. Big shout out to Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, our radio audience, and the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
Every day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're so honored to be there with our sponsors and our partners in your living room every single weekday. And so make sure you catch us there. If you don't catch us on the radio, we're going to be in your living room talking to you, hopefully giving you a light perspective. Our God is in control today. If you've been going through a particular rough time, if you're looking around and seeing some peculiar instances that are taking place and some things that just don't make sense to you, and you're trying to think logically what's going on, what if people lost their mind, the answer to that's yeah, but God will actually heal a mind.
That's right.
And God prepares for himself. He suddenly when you think it's totally over, when you think it's totally over, and I mean, you think about Israel. I mean, you just think about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You just think about them. And in the context of that, they were under bondage. The entire nation was under bondage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. I just need that thing. That blinder thing.
We'll work on that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And so then I got to close my eyes to see this.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so I see why.
Yeah.
And be still. Okay.
And no.
We are simple people. Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. Be still and know.
And no.
Where am I? Okay, so an entire nation, God's chosen people. I meant the people, the covenant people with God. The entire nation is under captivity at this particular time, and the king that was next in line, his name was Ahabius, or Ahab short.
That's interesting.
Oh, wow. Learned something new.
It was more like the and he was into a lot of wrong things. Even though he still was king, he still was a leader, he was into a lot of stuff, and he thought it was no big deal. He thought God was no big deal.
Mm.
And he had a piercing experience in his future that would prove that God was a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
As he bled out on Naboth's property. But anyway, and then he married into money. No, he married into power. No, he thought, and it's amazing how this works, but he thought that, you know, was father. You know, his father said, this would be a great, great kingdom decision. Why don't you just marry, you know, so-and-so's daughter, you know. She's got a few issues, you know, a few false gods and stuff, but, you know, that would give us
just
know,
a few.
A merger of kingdom. You know, we'll be like the United, I don't know, League of Ahab. Anyway, the and so League of Nations. And so, you know, with that, it got really bad. And as soon as they got into power, they began to put czars in places, you know, their sons. They did. They began to just put their, they began to change all the judges. This is what a king does. I mean, as a matter of fact, America, actually, you know, when a new president gets in office, they begin to put new judges in all these different, that's one of the biggest things people understand, that all of a sudden the judges that you stand before who judge you based on the context of the congressional laws that are passed, that a sweeping change happens across the judiciary, across the federal court systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, of course, there's a transition of power. It was already in darkness, but he gave his ring up to his wife because she had a great ability. She was outgoing, outspoken, demanding, and didn't have any problem killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Once she declared, well, it's amazing too, at the same time, is that she acted like she was under him. You know, signing his name is like, if you're all powerful, sign your name.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you're legitimately there, why do you need his business card?
Hmm.
You know, if you're really who you say you are, why do you need someone else's letterhead?
Mm.
Did you just send my letter?
You signed my name to
that? You signed my name to that? And And what it was is, you know, it's obviously seduced power. There, it's not legitimate, and it's not good. And of course, once you put all this new government in, you gotta thicken that thing up. Once you get this government in, that's when things begin to change, because they begin to make new rules and new laws, and the people were just under oppression. I mean, it was really bad. You had to go to her parties. You'd go to parties, you'd be in trouble. You had to worship her gods. You had to listen to her prophets, you know, her whole religion. And Ahab would go, "That's right. She's right." And you're looking at him going, What? And he's like, "Okay, I'll just talk to her. Just got to bypass you. It's just not going to work talking to you." Whoever the true head is, can it stick it up so we can either talk to it or take it off? Anyway, so it's looking really bad. I mean, it's the opposite of God. I mean, they're provoking God. They're setting up false, you know, Baals and Asherah poles and creating a whole new schools of ministry that train up people that line up with false doctrine. Just a whole new, we would say today, where did that gospel come from?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody ends up in darkness and bondage and all that. And wow, man, I am really not talking about America, but it just keeps flashing in my mind when I'm actually talking about this. And I'm saying this because, listen, God, if you cry out to God, if you position yourself, and hopefully soon it's going to be available to you on VFN TV, at VFNTV.com, at least the VFN TV store, you're going to be able to go in and get, facing, what is the how King Jehoshaphat, you know, facing impossible odds with God will bring possible victories in your life. Understanding if we do what God says, which basically leads us back to a place of humility and under him and his headship in our life again, and an abiding relationship with him, all of a sudden he just switches things. And you had Elijah and Elijah, and these were prophets of God. And for some reason, Ahab hated. I mean, there was nothing that Elijah could do to make Ahab happy.
Mm-mm.
Other than lie to him. And of course, Elijah couldn't lie to him. So it's like, what is up with this? Why are you so frustrated, you know, in Elijah's presence, the spirit of Elijah? And it's like, Ahabius. And so you think it's, I mean, at that point, you know, and so many people just go, listen, it's gone. It's gone. And you would think it really would, because it was pretty crazy. And, but all of a sudden God speaks to a prophet. He speaks to Elisha and he says, I want you to go down and I want you to, find this particular man, and his name is Jehu. Think about one man. God had a plan that he was going to use this one man that was going to begin to restructure things. And he so understood Jezebel and Ahab that he kept his distance from them.
All right.
And so Elijah runs into this room with no witnesses, throws his hands on Jehu, you know, and gets the anointing, takes off, runs. And the people around Jehu are going like, what was that? What was going on? You would think when things happen like that, you're like, wouldn't it have been nice, you know, if I don't know, Jezebel was around there or something like that. And the thing about it is, if she saw it, she would have had your head. Mm-hmm. You know, immediate war would have been waged against you, because that means that demonic power is about to come down.
That's right.
And so that's the reason why it's done that way. And then, of course, you have the journey to be able, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. And long story short, God was raising this man up, Jehu, with anointing to be able to restructure things. And he able to single-handedly, by his God's anointing and leadership in his life, bring in a whole new governmental structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, he changed. When he came in, heads were rolling. Heads were rolling. You know, people say, man, when they come in the room, heads roll. Well, when you talk about Jehu coming to room, heads rolls. It was literally all those people that this demonic government, people of God who are under the oppression of Satan, who've given themselves over to God, over to God of this world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a king and a queen. Now, obviously, the king was the one that was chosen. The God said, I regretted the day I ever ask you to pastor. Mm-hmm. ask you to, you know, God's regrets. Woof. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so when he comes in, he was had such an anointing to be able to restructure government. The heads would roll. And what it was the heads of Jezebel's sons. Ahab's sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You got to go for the head. You spend all your time, I think about what we talked about yesterday in 9/11, that they tried to take down America's financial district from the bottom up. And during President Clinton's administration,
mm-hmm.
and they found out that it has to start with the head.
Mm-hmm.
Because they came back on 9/11 and hit the same financial towers, twin towers, at the top with two aircraft, and they came down. But one, their foundation was exploded back in the President Clinton's administration,
mm-hmm.
and it just created a lot of smoke and turmoil, but it stood. But if you go to the head,
mm-hmm.
if you go to the head, if the head is right, the body's right, if the body lines up with the head.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden he comes in there and he begins to just restructure, you know, we need some new judges, you know, we need some new, you know, parliament around here, you know, we need some new Congress. I mean, just things begin to get restructured in the church context. And that's what we're talking about, that all of a sudden you either got to bow your knee to Jesus or you got to surrender your whatever and move on. I mean, it's sort of like the atheist that's over that mega church that was on ABC News with a little black line across his face going, I'm an atheist and this is the only trade I know, so I can't tell my congregation.
Wow.
It's like, did you ever have a clue that Lucifer was over you? Did it just cross your mind that you had the Antichrist preaching Jesus Christ? Which he actually, what he did, he edited out all those things in his messages and he turned into a social justice message is basically what he had said. We had that on the VFN Torch. You can actually see his interview on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And so the heads change. And think about that. It was pretty bad. I mean, everybody was in darkness and everybody was in all, when you think about Baal, that's the works of your hands and bowing down to, you know, fantasy and sexuality, wrong things sexually and all these, just everything that was going on in the Kibbutz was dark. Everything that God said don't do happens under Ahab and Jezebel. And what's interesting about it, under a spirit of religion, you know what I'm saying? So you gotta realize just because you're religious doesn't mean you're right. Mm. You know, you gotta stay humble because we're all susceptible to anything the enemy can do. I mean, we're human like everybody's human. And is that a big enough disclaimer for no? We won't have that joke. And so he comes in. He comes in and begins to have a party because they're used to going to party. You got to go to parties for when she has a party, you got to go. Because he's not having the party for you, by the way. Jezebel does not have parties for you and you're not on the invite list for you. She or he, it's not a gender, is trying to bring people around them that give them a sense of value and importance so they can be celebrated. So if you're not on the list, if you're not on the invite list, you should celebrate that because obviously you're probably have something like a spirit of Elijah on you. And you're the last person that Jezebel wanted at dinner, Ahab. And so, but this is how the party would go, by the way. You may have been to one of these parties. You know, all of a sudden she's having this big to-do. You have the invite list, the little cards with your name. Everybody's placed exactly where this particular person wants them placed, you know. And governmental dinners and in her government. But all of a sudden Ahab walks in like a storm, just like comes in the room, but it's already been done. I mean, he's just showing up at her party, at her glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's there just acting like he's something. But the truth is, you know, it's Jezebel's party that she invited him, and he's talking to people. Everybody's listening to him because they know that he actually is the king. But they realize, I mean, you got to tolerate him, but you got to go find out what's going to go on with her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it says you can't, because he is the king, and he could take your head off, especially if you confront him with his reality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ask Elijah. And I mean, just snap, boy, you lose your head because, you know, the king. And so I'm just talking about biblical perspective of hope now. And with that, the so he'll come in, and it's any gender, but this example, Ahab will come in, and all of a sudden he's just, you know, talking to people, touching people, talking what's going on, hey, what's happening, every this kind of stuff, and everybody's listening. But they have no problem when he walks away because it's meaningless. It's meaningless. There's nothing to it. It's only wind. It's only wind. You know, if you believe the wind, then you're going to be gone with the wind because there's no substance behind somebody whose power has been seduced.
Right.
Authority's been seduced. And save your time. Just go to Jezebel and find out what's going to be happening.
There you go.
You know, save him the humiliation from having to come back and say, you know I said yes yesterday, but I was praying. So what did you say when you were praying to her? I would, but my other half won't let me. Well, obey God. Who's your other half, Satan? Anyway, so I'm having fun today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The eyes of the world are watching. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Christians ought to live what we believe, but that's not always the case in our marriages. Here's Francis Chan with an observation about letting God's power shine in our relationships.
Look at the average, you know, married Christian couple. I mean, how is it supernatural? I could probably show you plenty of unbelieving couples that are just as happy, just as loving towards their kids, but they're not seeing the supernatural works of the Holy Spirit, and that's what's undeniable. And when they see that, then they're more apt to listen to your message.
Maybe Francis Chan's words are a bit challenging for you. There's no doubt that God designed marriage to be a showcase for His power and His love at work. You'll find encouragement to have a thriving relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up. Or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what He commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us. Is that, and He speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, He says, because He said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right.
But you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home, just let it play and just let mm-hmm. the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is what was going on. Was this not going on in Israel?
Oh, yeah.
And he says, he tells us in the word, he tells us in his word that we have the word of God to instruct us, to encourage us.
I went there too.
Oh my goodness. God, I have a great future in store. And so then, suddenly, when all these parties are going on, all this evil's happening, and they think they're going to be forever there.
Mm-hmm.
In this small area, in the corner of nowhere, runs a prophet who lays his hands on the man that when he arrives, heads roll. Isn't that awesome?
Awesome.
So, of course, they're all used to going to parties. So the first thing that Jehu does when he comes to begin to restructure the church government. Now, we're not talking about the world here. Church government. He said, let's have a party. You want to have a party? Let's have a party. You want to have a party? We're going to go down in this valley, and we're just going to, we're going to let it rip. Everybody who loves Jezebel and Ahab's gods. I mean, it's going to be everything that they offered you, all the darkness, all the evil, all the, you know, debauchery you want, you know, I mean, it's going to be like Burning Man right there in the middle of all that, and get ready to dance around the fires, get ready to just dive in. Of course, that's pretty much what happened to people who didn't stay separate from what this evil government began to do over God's people. And so they're showing up. I mean, these are standard parties. You know, they realize they're showing up for Jezebel, but they get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Jezebel controls you by what she gives you. And as long as you continue to take from them her government, then you will be her slave. Mm. And say what you want to, but if you're lining up for what she gives you every month, boom. I'm the man around here. Yeah, sure. Great. See you at the mailbox. Anyway, so in that, he throws this party. They're used to going to the party, but this time he goes down to the party. Well, actually, he was on his way to the party. And this is God raising up hope. I mean, think about it. It still looks dark. Everybody's doing dark. Remember, there's a big dark party going on. The very person that you overheard somebody at Starbucks that said that they would follow God. Now they're actually having a party for the same people that always party with Jezebel. I was like, this is the same. There's nothing changed around here. It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. Slow to speak. And so he's heading out to go deal with this, you know, restructuring situation. And this one particular man comes running down the trails, and all of a sudden, Jehu stops him. Like, where are you going? And he goes, I was just going to Jezebel's. You know, it's like, of all the people to run into, and of all the things to say, and I said, that was a positive thing, right? I'm thinking, oh, bless his heart. That was it, brother.
He's going down.
That's it.
This is exciting, the day that people begin to stand up and call stupid stupid, and call wrong wrong, and call dark dark. And yes, yes, and no, no. I mean, it's beautiful days when things are so clear.
Right.
Only to those who are looking for yes and no's from
That's
God.
Right.
It is terrifying clarity. When people know it's not complicated, it really bothers them. I'm a little confused here. What? That you don't want to follow God? What's the confusion part here? And so he goes to the party, and this is how merciful God is. God touches Jehu, and Jehu goes through the party, all the people in the valley, and begins to look around to make sure the only ones at this party were the ones that were loyal to Jezebel and Ahab, the ones that sat at her table, the ones that ate her food, the ones that bowed at Herashira and his Baal and all that stuff. And he was making sure, because you know what? Heads were about to roll. And every one of those that chose another god, as if there was one,
right,
as if she could have created one or he could have created one, then they went to go see their god. But first they had to go to the throne of the god and be judged, because they all died in that valley. And then he went and began to just behead. He removed the heads of, I mean, no, he didn't like say, come on out, you're the head. He severed the thing between the chin and the the clavicles, the shoulders. He just cut their heads off. He just cut their heads off. And of course, what happened in the natural in the Old Testament, we walk out in the spiritual. Now you got to begin to cut the head off of the snake. You got to cut, but not physically. cut. You just deal with it in the name of Jesus, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the last thing he dealt with at a distance, the last thing he dealt with at a distance was her. Because remember, Ahab already bled out. He already bled out. And of all the things, see, you served her all those years. Let me tell you something. I know you're dead now, but listen. You served her all those years, and you bled out on Naboth's property, and you didn't listen to any warning God gave you. And now she's the only one left on the throne, and she's about to go down. But notice, she's there and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The obvious is obvious now. And so Jehu's heading her way. He's heading her way. Obviously, she has a hint now that all of her party favors are dead. All of her sons are dead. She heard that Jehu was coming, and he has the ability to restructure government. And of all the things she could be doing, John, she starts putting on her makeup.
Mm.
You could think of today. He starts moosing it up and tuning his instrument. He starts getting his rhythmic rhymes out and how he can blend and shake and move and cause these things to happen orically. He's getting ready to orate. New word. Why? Because you're fixing to be seduced. Everything that person has, male or female, they're going to kick it into high gear. Every tool, everything, every song, every flattering word, every seducing look, makeup. Of all the things she was doing, she was brushing her makeup because she knew, I've got to take him down too. And let me tell you something. Don't think that you're above being taken down. I mean, even Jehu stood at a distance in dealing with her. He didn't go lay hands on her. And this is not a gender. I mean, but it was in this case. And she was there because of Ahab. There is no Jezebel, by the way, without an Ahab. The only authority Satan can have is the one that's surrendered from the authority of themselves. And he steps to a distance, and he looks up to her place where she was at, and he tells the eunuchs that are around here, and that's who's around Jezebel. They're eunuchs. That's why you think about 95% of the church can't reproduce. It's because we have Jezebelic spirits over our nation.
Mm-hmm.
We have religious lockdown over our nation. If 95% of Christians don't lead one person, they cannot reproduce one person in the kingdom of God, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one baby. You know what I'm saying?
Come on.
People who don't even know God walk out with a baby and think, we don't even know how this happened. It's like, you know, Christians can hang around for 25 years and not reproduce. That's a sign. It's like Jezebel has eunuchs around her, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she has to have eunuchs around her because she'll seduce them. And so then, man, this is good stuff. This is the hope. Everything's happening. You're thinking, oh my goodness, Jehu's about to go down because, you know, she seduced even Ahab, king of Israel. And here comes Jehu coming up there, and he stands at a distance, and he tells the eunuchs around her, says, throw her out. Just throw her out the window. Can you imagine how that would play on the New York Times?
Yeah, right.
Throw her out of the mega church. You're right. Throw her out of the coffee shop. You know, throw her out of the whatever, the storefront. You know, throw her out of the, I don't know. And they throw this body out and say, throw her out. They throw the queen of Israel by marriage, an evil covenant. He was in the evil covenants, wasn't he? Out, and she lands on the ground near Jehu's feet, and horses come and begin to stomp on her. I bet you Jehu was on one of those horses because he was on a horse dealing with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have Mercedes by then. And she was just stomped in the ground. And understand this. I know I'm talking a little bit long on this, but that's how God feels about this. Because you're putting yourself up as God. You're allowing somebody else to put themselves up with God, and you're worshiping them. We're getting a picture of Revelation chapter 2, the church of Thyatira, and we're understanding this is how God feels about someone who calls themselves a prophet or a prophetess that are misleading God's people. And God's watching from the throne room, and the heavenly host is watching, and all the angels are watching, and Jehu is there, and all the Israel is watching as this one who brought great destruction and led God's people into great darkness. And it's no gender, but this is the case in this instance. And stomps her body into the ground. Horse is 2,000 pounds, man. I mean, one step of a horse breaks, smushes everything. You can imagine. And after she was just broken to pieces by the hoofs of horses, it makes you want to repent, don't it? It's like, dear God, right? It makes you want to repent. You think, sir, ma'am, it'd make you want to repent.
That's right.
And then the dogs come and they eat her. Everything but her hands is left there. That's a symbolism for us to let us know. I mean, it's a reality, but it's to let us know this, that Revelation chapter 2 was not the Old Testament. And the church of Thyatira is a real thing. And no matter how hard you're working, if you tolerate Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess or calls himself a prophet, and they're leading God's people, they're standing behind something, speaking behind it, leading God's people astray, or standing out on their own, leading God's people astray. This is your doom. He says, you will enter in the same bed of suffering as Jezebel, right? What is her suffering? Cast out, stomped down by the hoofs of horses. Check it out. Look, let me read Revelation. They're coming on white horses, whose clothes are saturated with blood, stamping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. That's stepping on all those who said, I am God. God's not God. But if you don't tolerate her, if you just do what God says and line up what he says, I'll give you authority over the nations. God reserved for himself a man by the name of Jehu and laid his hands on him, and he received an anointing that was able to begin to restructure. And if you listen to people that God is calling to this generation, begin to listen to them and don't listen to what's been seduced in the darkness, just separate yourself from what's wrong and enter into what's right. You can enter into the fullness and the blessing, because under Jehu, Israel came into the light. It's time for us to go back to the light. There's hope.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic. You know, John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide, you know, just, I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah. You need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease, right? All the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods. Well, go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you. You could start right away and your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to talk about it. We'll be sharing on the demonstration of the kingdom of God. The demonstration of the kingdom of God. Paul said, the Apostle Paul, when he preached, he says, listen, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive and eloquence of words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I mean, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. He says, listen, I didn't come with fancy-dancy rhymes. I didn't come with, you know, all these crazy illustrations and blowing up techniques and all these pyro. I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You know, God's given us power for a reason. Right. And his gospel comes with power. Luke 9 says that when Jesus called the 12 together, Matthew 10 says that the Lord brought them to himself. God, Jesus, gave them, the disciples, you and me, he gives us power and authority to what? Drive out demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, not their kingdom, but the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. I mean, this is Jesus' launch, if you will, for his disciples. They've been with Jesus. They have watched Jesus. They have learned of Jesus. They've seen the Lord teach and preach and drive out demons and heal. And everything that the Lord did, he said, you know what? Now you do. Mm. In fact, the word says that greater works will you do, speaking of the believers, because I go to the Father. To think that everything that the Lord did in his ministry, that's available for every believer, for every son and daughter of the King. Essentially, Jesus is saying, hey, you go. Now it's your turn. And go forth. And so the first thing that we need to remember is that, you know, our first call in the ministry, and everyone is listen, we've all been given the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody's in the ministry. And what ministry means is what? Serving. Sure. Everybody can serve. That's so important, because there's a mindset that ministry is only what's done on stage. The mindset, so it's, that ministry is only what's done in maybe just the preaching or all these other concepts, right? Mm-hmm. But listen, ministry is one who comes to serve. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He led the example. And so there's all sorts of different ways that you can get involved. You're listening today and you know, you're being stirred and you're saying, listen, I'm so glad that was shared. I've been wanting to do something for God, and I thought that I had to do something on stage to be in quote unquote the ministry. Let me tell you, ministry is serving the Lord in so many different capacities. You know, I love what someone said, do something lest you do nothing. You know, you can always serve. You can always help. You can always bless someone and doing it in the name of the Lord. And whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, Jesus said, you've done it to me. And I think we need to help people to understand that, hey, you're in the ministry day one. Mm-hmm. You're in the ministry day one. I remember sitting one day years ago thinking, oh, am I supposed to go into the harvest field? I didn't know that. No one ever told me. I never knew I was commissioned. Well, you're being told today, you are commissioned. Go. I thought it was for somebody else.
Right.
But I learned. So our first ministry, our first area of service is always to the Lord. It's the most powerful ministry that you'll ever have in your life is the ministry of one. Because really all true service, all true love, all true helping of others in the name of Christ really should overflow from our time with the Lord. We minister out of the overflow of our encounter with God. We minister out of the overflow of our relationship with the Lord. We minister out of the overflow of our abiding, daily interacting, of reading God's word, applying it to our life, hiding his word in our heart, right?
Right.
That's the way that we minister, but our first ministry is to the Lord. Just so important, because sometimes people are trying to do things for God and like they don't know God. It's like, dude, do that.
Yeah.
You need to minister to the Lord. That's the first thing. You need to minister to Jesus. And the other thing is that I think about when in terms of being, you know, getting all caught up in what we're doing for God. I think about the disciples when they Jesus sent them back and they came back and they're all hype and excited about, oh, the demons obeyed us and all. Look, all this happened just like you said it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And Jesus didn't give them a round of applause or he didn't say anything about it. His very next words were, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this I'm speaking about pride here. Don't get caught up in this other stuff because it's going to happen. Let the main thing always be the main thing, and that is your ministry to the Lord. This is kind of a side thing, but, you know, don't ever aim for titles or position. The greatest, you're already there. The greatest thing you could ever be called is a friend of God. Just be his friend.
Right.
Just be his friend. Trust me, if you're his friend, he'll tell you his secrets. And that's what you want to be. You want to be his friend. We find out in this verse of scripture that Jesus is doing the sending. And if Jesus does the sending, he does the equipping. And so he gives you a job and he gives you the tools to get the job done. It's nothing like being given an assignment. It's like, you want me to build this with what? You know what I'm saying? You want to give me a hammer or some sheetrock? You want to give me some stuff so I can do this? You know? But the Lord doesn't do that. He gives us an assignment, and then he equips us for the assignment. He does the equipping. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. He says, just come, and I want to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you what you need. So he gives the disciples, and he gives us today, he gives us power and authority, and both of those are so important because authority is the license. It's the right. It's the permission, it's the badge, quote unquote, for us to be there, to do it,
right.
to act on behalf of God. And Lord, we are the salt of the earth. We are God's representation, his ambassadors here on the earth. So God has deputized us, if you will. He's given us authority, right,
mm-hmm.
on his behalf.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, Pat, I got to ask you, man. I got to tell you, I've been watching these Olympics, man. I a little bit here and there. I mean, you know, catching
really?
Some
How do
glimpses.
You have time for that?
just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. You know, listen, they have an app for everything. You know, just catch it on the app. Catch it on the fly,
I know.
Well, I'm really inspired. You know, I hear that Michael Phelps now is the most decorated gold medalist now, or medalist, should I say.
Uh-huh.
And so pretty interesting. Michael Phelps, and I heard the women's gymnastics team took the gold. I think this is the first time. Yeah.
Very good. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, first time since I think 1996. So they're doing good. Wow. But I tell you, you look at these athletes, you look at the training, you look at their bodies, Pat, not like ours, are in the top, you know, tip top shape. You know what I mean? They're cut.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you know, okay, never mind.
I'm with you, bro.
Yeah, you know, so they're inspiring me. I said, you know, maybe I need to work out some, you know, maybe I need to, you know, get some of those ripped abs like Michael Phelps there. And I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you. And then I thought about that work. And I said, you know, there's got to be, Pat, an easier way to do this. Okay, there's got to be a way how we can get ripped. Right. All right.
Uh-huh.
And so I just happened to find a little at what do you call it, a flyer, a little ad here, if you will, mm-hmm. that they're offering this thing called Abhancer. Abhancer.
Uh-huh.
Now listen here, okay? This thing here is a lightweight frame, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has adjustable straps, all right? Uh-huh. So it can fit even the roundest of us, okay?
Okay.
It fits beneath the clothing. I want you to think of this. Think of it like a grill, if you will, a metal grill that has the outline of a six pack.
Oh, it like fits yeah. under your clothes?
Absolutely.
Like then a girdle.
Now you're talking, brother.
Oh,
all right.
My goodness.
And you put the strap on nice and tight, kind of wear it for, you know, 24 hours. You can't move or
oh,
anything.
Oh, my goodness.
But after that, you'll have an imprinted six pack, man. And I'll tell you what, you and I can go a long way with that.
Oh, my. Okay.
I was thinking about you.
Really?
Six packs, you know, six pack in a few minutes,
right,
you know, or
right.
a few hours. But I think we'll put that on the torch. I actually have a picture of that. It is hilarious
oh,
when
my
I saw
goodness.
It. Yeah, the guy sitting down watching TV while he's, you know, he's training his six pack, his cuts there.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And the other thing he gives us is power, right? That might. That strength, that's divine power from God. It's the authority, the right to be there, and the power to execute or to fulfill the authority that was given. You know, in terms of if we use, you know, police officers as an analogy, it's the badge that says I'm the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have authority to be here, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. Even because if you're in plain clothes, we don't know. You normally the uniform helps us, right? Okay, that tells us something. But if you're in plain clothes, what do? You pull out your badge that says, hey, I've been authorized, right? This says that I have a license. I'm certified. I am a police officer. I have authority to say, stop that and put that down, right?
Right.
But not only that, if you don't listen to my authority, if you don't listen to this badge, I also have the tools to enforce the authority that I do have. I got a gun. I got a baton. And I do have handcuffs, right? So it's power and authority.
That's right.
And Jesus sends us out. We talked about earlier in the first hour about the seven things to consider about having a fiery, burning heart for souls. I mean, Jesus didn't say, you know, disciples, this is so good and you were so blessed with me and let's just kick back. The expectation is for us to go and to share with others what God has done in our heart, what God's doing in our lives. It's to spread the fire. It's to advance the kingdom. So Jesus sends them out with power and authority, and he's equipped them to get the job done, if you will, and they're able for God's kingdom to invade earth. We've been imparted with power to do what? To drive out demons. To drive out demons. There is an invisible realm that we don't see with our natural eyes, but let me tell you, there are sorts of demonic activity that are flowing all over the place. And the word says that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And so many things happen because they just happen. They just, you know, the believer's not exercising their authority.
Mm-hmm.
They're not walking into a situation saying, wait a second, something's not right here, and I'm just going to bind up some demons and that's it. it's done. It could be strife. It could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there's tons of activity, and we have the authority to deal with second heaven activity, right? But it must be what? Exercise. So we drive out demons. We have the power and the authority to cure diseases, to heal the sick, and of course, to preach the kingdom of God. Now, many are familiar with preaching the kingdom, but there's something that's powerful and magnificent is when the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, manifests with a demonstration of power. Like we say, you know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. When they've experienced the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, it's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wrap. You know, when God's presence invades the room, you know, and you can see that in times of worship. You can see that when you're worshiping and you're glorifying God and maybe with a group of believers that maybe it just started out as just casual conversation and then you're talking and then you set your heart to worship. All of a sudden, the atmosphere changes. There's a shifting in place, and God's presence, because he inhabits the praises of his people, right? His presence comes, and the whole atmosphere changes, right? And God just fills the room, if you will. Well, it's a demonstration of God's power that we need. And think about it. It's this power in the life and in the ministry of the believers that causes others to marvel and stand in utter amazement of the greatness and the supremacy of God.
Mm-hmm.
When people see miracles, we've seen miracles. We've seen miracles and have heard of miracles. That's what you call a game changer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's a game changer. And that's so important that we don't forget that. It's this is the kingdom, but here's the demonstration of the kingdom. Paul said he didn't come with the eloquence of words, his message, but it came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. And demonstrating the kingdom is just as important as preaching the kingdom. And Jesus did this all the time. In fact, in Luke 9, when he was about to deliver and set free a boy that was being thrown with seizures and being thrown on the ground. Verse 42 says that even while the boy was coming to the Lord, he was coming to the Lord, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And this is what happens. This is what happens when the kingdom of God is demonstrated. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. They were marveling at all that Jesus did and everything that he told his disciples. And this is the signs and the wonders are not just for signs and wonders' sake. The whole point of the miracles, signs and wonders, they're to point to Jesus Christ. They're to point to the Lord. And so some today feel like the disciples felt in the word when they say, Lord, you know, increase our faith. I want to believe. I want to preach. I want to step out. I want to heal the sick. I want to cast out devils. I want to do the stuff, as John Wimber used to call it, doing the stuff, you know, but increase our faith. And, you know, the Lord didn't say, oh, okay, you need more faith. Let me give you a couple buckets full of faith. His reply to that question, that desire, Lord, increase our faith, was he replied, listen, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell that mulberry tree to be uprooted and be thrown into the sea. And what Jesus was emphasizing is not the quantity of faith that's going to get things done. It's the fact that you use the faith that you have, that you exercise the faith that you have. And I was sharing this with some leaders over the weekend, and someone said that, listen, our bodies, right? Our bodies all have, we have muscles in our bodies. We have the same body, but it's when we exercise.
Well, some of us do.
Well, yeah. Well, you have all of them, I guess. But, you know, I have one big round one in the center of mine. It's just big, big one. But when you exercise them, they what? They grow. They appear. They grow. And it's the same thing with faith. When we exercise our faith grows. And but we have to, you have to do it. You have to step on out. You've got to take your hand and lay it on the sick, right? This you should lay the hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so I just want to encourage you that now is the time more than ever. It's the power, it's the authority, and exercise faith that demonstrates the kingdom.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. In this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if in fact that you want say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. The Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.